Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we present the second lesson in a rather extended series of studies of the Book of Romans. Friend, this study was going to take us actually several weeks because the Book of Romans has so much to tell us about God's system of saving man. What God has done to save man, what man must do to take advantage of what God has done on his behalf. Now, in our first lesson, we took note of the fact that Paul was the writer, God is the author of the book, and we also took note of Paul, his desire, and his love for these brethren in Rome. This gospel, it had been foretold by the prophets of old, and the Apostle Paul shows his respect for the scriptures that told about the coming of the Christ, who would be fleshly of the descendant of David, and who was also the Son of God. But without too much review of the things that we've said before, for time's sake, we press on beginning today here in the first chapter of Romans with the 8th verse. And in these next few verses, Paul expresses his desire to visit with them, and he tells why he wants to visit them, what he hopes to accomplish by a visit with them. I read to you verses 8 through 15. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God, to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now Paul opens this passage of Scripture, revealing his thanksgiving for them. He makes mention of the wholesome reputation they had throughout the whole world because of their faith. And we have noted in the first chapter and in the 16th chapter, when Paul talks about faith in Romans, he's talking about an obedient faith. And Paul says he served God with my spirit. Well, he served God with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength, as Jesus says that we are to serve. And he labored in the gospel of Christ. But in this prayer, he requested that it would be in God's providence that he would visit the brethren there in Rome. He greatly desired to see them, and there were certain benefits that he expected to be derived for both of them by his visit to the church there in Rome. And number one, he wished to impart to them some spiritual gift. That is, some miraculous ability could be bestowed upon the Christians there in Rome, upon whom the Apostle Paul would lay hands. This is the way these spiritual gifts, and there's an extended study of the spiritual gifts in the book of 1 Corinthians, but it was imparted by the laying on of the hands of the apostles. And Paul wanted to impart unto these brethren some spiritual gifts. Now, whether or not there were any spiritual gifts existing among the Romans already, we do not know, but nonetheless, it was the desire of Paul to go there and impart these gifts to them. Again, he says, that they might be established. Now, certainly that's not in the idea of originating the church. The church did exist already. But he wanted to strengthen the church. He wanted to make the church firm. He wanted to be solid. And he wanted there to be an opportunity for a mutual good to be produced if he could visit with them. And thirdly, he says he wanted to come that both of them might be comforted together. You see, friend, it was characteristic in the days of the early church that there was great persecution, first from the hands of the Jews, and later on from the hands of the Gentiles. And the Christians needed to be comforted. And much of the New Testament is written in order to comfort Christians in the midst of their hardships. And he hoped to produce some comfort both for himself and for them, and, again, produce fruit among them as he had produced among other Gentiles. The Apostle Paul had been traveling among the Gentile world, being an apostle to the Gentiles, preaching the gospel of Christ. He had converted many to the salvation through Christ. He wanted to be able to preach the gospel to those who were in Rome. And does it not seem obvious that Paul had the attitude that he was indebted and obligated to others? He wanted to pay a debt, and he felt obligated to come to them and make them aware all the more of the gospel of Christ. He wanted to preach to both the Greeks and to barbarians. Now, the term Greeks would refer to the wise and the educated people of the time, and the term barbarian, it is not to be equated with being savages, but they were people of a different language. Paul wanted to preach to them all. He wanted to preach the gospel. And now we turn to verse 16 and 17, which in the eyes of many people as they study this book seems to be the rather key to the entire book. Paul said in verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul was not only not ashamed of the gospel, I think we can say that he was proud of the gospel. He was grateful for the gospel. He knew the gospel was God's power unto salvation. Friend, it takes great power to turn a sinner into a saint. And here is the power that God has provided. It's that which is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is of benefit, however, only to those who accept it, those who believe it, and those who believe it to the extent that they will respond in obedience to the commands that are found in the gospel of Christ. But he takes note, this is both to Jew and to the Gentile. This salvation is not exclusive to any one particular nation, as the law of Moses had been to the Israelite people. That which the Apostle Paul was preaching was be of equal benefit to both Jew and Gentile, a universal benefit, because it would solve a universal need. Now it is true that the Jews had first opportunity at the gospel, beginning there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And this is because the Messiah did come through the Israelite or Jewish people. But Paul says the gospel is a revelation. Here is something that was revealed that had not formerly been made known. Well, what is revealed, Paul? He says the righteousness of God. Now, when he speaks of the righteousness of God in this context, He's not talking about a holy attribute of God, of case character. He's talking about the way that God's plan, God's system, God's scheme to make man righteous in the sight of God. Psalm 119, verse 172 tells us, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandment of righteousness." It's not merely that God's commands are righteous, but that his commandments compose righteousness, and his system makes man righteous. The salvation of verse 16, friend, it originates with faith. The gospel tells of this salvation and reveals God's plan to produce faith that is necessary for salvation, from faith to faith. You see, salvation without faith is impossible, Hebrews 11:6. Salvation comes for man, in his part, from faith. And faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word which reveals the faith produces the faith or belief that will produce obedience, that will produce salvation. And Paul says, "The just shall live by faith." Really, he's asking the question, who shall live? Well, those who shall live, friend, are those who live by the system of faith. Well, as time might permit, let us read the next two verses, because not only is the way of making man righteous revealed in the gospel, there's something else revealed that we'll discuss more extensively. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." You see, God has been so gracious to man. He's given man all kind of evidence to know of his existence. And he has told man, here is the way that you can be saved. But he also warns man of the wrath of God. Something in addition to God's plan for justifying man is revealed here in the gospel. Wrath of God against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. And there be those who do hold the truth in unrighteousness. And this idea of restraint and holding down of the truth, it is quite evident in the lives of evil men. Evil men hold down even the gospel. Evil men have held down the truth down through the ages. The truth has been hindered and held down by those who choose to live an unrighteous life. The truth spoken here as being held down by ungodly men was that great moral truth that God had given since the Garden of Eden, and the law of Moses as the revelation for the people of Israel. Moral truth and the law of Moses. Men who lived under those laws, they so lived as to hinder truth, and they were the object of the wrath of God. That's revealed in Scripture. So the gospel does reveal the way of justification, but it also reveals God's attitude toward ungodliness, and men are without excuse. The Apostle Paul warns mankind of both the goodness and the severity of God. Well, be with us as we continue to study from the book of Romans next program. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.